Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Apostle Paul was always acutely mindful of the fact that he had not yet reached the heavenly abode. Are you mindful of that fact this morning?
Yes.
Paul says, I'm not going to worry about those things which are behind me. There's a lot of stuff that we drag along sometimes, things that are behind us, and we can't change any of the things that are in the past. So Apostle Paul says, I'm going to show you where my focus is. He says, I press toward the mark. I'm going to move on. I'm pressing on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to keep on running for the goal. Brother, I'm not going to let anything worry me this morning. I'm going to keep on reaching out and pressing and straining and striving, trying to get on home to heaven. Is that all right? Want to say good morning. Welcome to all of those who are assembled in the assembly this morning. We thank God for those who have come by way of social media. It's a great, great opportunity that God has given us that yet again we can meet and we can talk about what thus saith the Lord, that we might look into God's perfect law of liberty and that we might correct and change those things about us that need to be changed. I know all of you in here this morning and all of those of you who are on social media, I know that you've already looked at yourself at least one time this morning, right? So let's look at ourselves according to the word of God. My name is Ray Wilkerson, and I am the assistant to Brother Gary Smith here, and I stand in his stead on this day. And I want to remind those of us who have joined in our 365-day journey through the Bible that we're continuing our 365-day journey through the Bible, and our reading for today is where our lesson text came from. So if you meet with us in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8, we'll begin our discussion from there. The lesson text for today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 8, but the reading covers also chapters 9 and chapters 10, and John, the 12th chapter, verse 12 through 26, and Psalm 65, verses 1 through 13. But I figure if I go through all of that, you'll quit long before I do. So I'm going to give you a little bit of nuggets from all of the ones that we can. Is that all right?
That's all right.
1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. I had mentioned on, I believe, last Sunday or Wednesday, my days get to running together, that we're trying to get up to 800 readers on our journey through the Bible. And last I checked, we were at about 765. So I need about 35 of you who are not yet reading on the journey through the Bible to sign up and to start to read through the Bible. And just start where you are. Don't worry about having to go back and catch up on all of those. Just go ahead and start where you are. 1 Samuel chapter 8, the Bible says in verse number 1, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joab, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. We've seen on the last two occasions that I spoke that God told somebody that they were old. God told Joshua, Joshua, you're old. And when God says that you're old, I think that means that you're old. And one of the things that I mentioned on the last two occasions that I've had an opportunity to speak is that all of us are to be in the process of bringing people along, training up people who are going to be our replacements. Because again, the work that needs to be done should never go undone because we don't have men and women who are qualified to step in and train and folk that are ready to make sure that the kingdom of God continues to press forward. So if you have not yet done your due diligence to find and to bring along somebody that's going to be a replacement for you, then we have not yet done what we need to do. Continue to train men and women. Now, you would think that the most logical place would be to start in our households. And certainly we want to bring up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We want to bring our families up to know God. But when we look at the examples in the Bible, you'll find that many times that the children that came along did not walk in their father's footsteps. And it's no different here in Samuel. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 5, it tells us that Samuel walked with God. He walked and he led God. He judged Israel all the days of his life. Samuel did a good job. And Samuel was just a man. Now, I've entitled the lesson, for those of you who like lesson titles, the lesson that I've entitled this morning is, who do you choose? God or man? It's going to be very important, because we have to make that judgment for ourselves. Who do you choose? God or man? And I'm asking that question to myself as well. Who do I choose? Do I choose God or man? Samuel was old and he had put his sons in the position to be judges over Israel. Samuel walked with God all the days of his life. He judged Israel all the days of his life. And he was the last faithful judge that we read about in the Word of God. But now what his sons did in verse number 3, they walked not in his ways. It does not mean just because you have a godly household. It does not mean just because you are a godly dad or that you are a godly mother or you're godly parents. It does not necessarily mean that your children are going to walk in your footsteps. We hope, we pray that they will, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they will. These sons turned aside after lucre. They turned aside. They, money, give me some money and I'll give you the judgment that you want. They turned aside after lucre. They took bribes. And the Bible says they perverted judgment. What is it in the world when the people who are in the position to do the job that they're supposed to do, and they are not, according to God's word, to take bribes, they're to judge with righteous judgment. What happens when people in the world don't judge with righteous judgment? Something is wrong with that, brother. When folk won't do right and they look and act like you are out of your mind when you expect for them to follow righteous judgment. Some Samuel's sons perverted judgment. Lord, help us. When we look in this country today, we see men and women all over the place who are absolutely perverting judgment. They do not stand up for what is right. They do not speak truth. They tell lies, and when they're caught in the lies, they double down on the lies and keep on telling the lie. Somebody ought to say, Lord, help us. The Bible reminds us God was not ever surprised about anything that man does. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse number 14, and judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. The Bible shows us again that even back in the day when Isaiah was prophesying, that there was going to be a time, and it did happen in his day, and it's happening in our day right now, that judgment is fallen. Truth is fallen in the streets. People say whatever they want to say, do whatever they want to do, and expect for us to believe it as truth. But brother, sister, listen, that's why it's important that we continue to train up men and women, that we continue to train them in the way that they should go. And certainly the Bible does give us the reinforcement that when they're old, they will not depart from it. Maybe that there are some that are on their way back, and we pray that some are on their way back to a relationship with God. But who do we choose? Do you choose God or do you choose man? Who do you choose? And what do you do when men who are in a position to do the job are not doing their job? What do you do? Now, it's one thing in the U.S. when we have, quote unquote, political positions, elections. But what about in the family of God? In the house of God? Lord, help us that we don't ever put people in places or positions that we would have men and women that are not doing the job that they have been called to do. That's why I say over and over again, let's make sure that we can keep our elders in prayer. Always lift our elders and their families up in prayer. Lift our deacons up in prayer. Lift our deacons and their families up in prayer. Lift all of our Bible school teachers and all of our preachers and all of those who are serving. Keep us all in prayer that we might do the work that God has called us to do and that we might choose God and not man. I see, this is where we would say amen, but they already said it. Y'all didn't hear it. This is where we say amen. God bless us. But what do you do? What do you? Look what they did. In 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse number 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together. The elders gathered together. They say, well, you know what? These guys are perverting judgment. Samuel's sons, those boys, they're not doing well. Some of y'all have heard about Bebe's kids, and some of y'all have Bebe kids. If you have Bebe's kids and you're here, just keep looking this way. They won't know that we talk. But you know, and some of y'all have no idea what Bebe's kids are. Those are unruly, unthankful, unholy, ungodly kind of children. That's what I describe as Bebe's kids. There was a time when they were talking about PKs. You know what PKs are? I'm a preacher, so I got wind of the fact that they call kids that belong to the preacher the PKs, the preacher's kids. And most of the time when they were saying PKs, it was not necessarily a compliment. We don't put people in position just because of their relationship for other folk in the family of God. Is that all right? That you have to serve. And we want to make sure that we lay hands on men and women who are willing and able and do, in fact, serve. Notice what the Bible says. His sons walked not in his ways, but the elders got together. And they came to Samuel. They came to Samuel. Brother, we got to talk. Now, how do you go and approach somebody and tell them about their kids? Brother, I got to tell you. I'm going to talk to you about your children. I want you to just listen to me. Don't say anything yet, but let me talk. They said, look, Samuel, we need to talk. In verse number 5, the Bible says, and they said unto him, behold, thou art old. They came and told him the same thing that God said, Samuel, you are old. Now, listen, I want you to know, just because we are getting older does not necessarily mean that we are not capable. But we've got to make sure that our judgment is not distorted and that we are not people who perform what is called nepotism. Nepotism is that because of family relationships or family ties, we put folk in positions that they don't belong, don't merit, and they don't do the job. That word nepotism goes back actually to Catholicism when they installed the quote-unquote priesthood where they were not able to be married. They didn't have sons, so they would put their nephews in positions. Nepotism goes back to the idea of them putting nephews in positions, merited or not. We don't want to put folk in position. How many times folk went, well, my daddy and my daddy's daddy, and you know, we go back 5-6 generations, it does not matter. What is your standing with God? How are you going to choose? Are you going to choose based upon family relationship? Do we choose God or do we choose man? We ought to be about the business of always siding with God, choosing God. Now, he says, now, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. So if you've been reading through this, I'm sure that a lot of this jumped out at you. And he says, listen, make us a king. Now, one of the things that we want to make sure that we don't do is that when we're correcting one error, that we make an error when we're correcting one error by making another error. Don't compound the problem. We can make things worse by compounding the problem. Now, these people wanted a king, and it's amazing to me how many times we find in the Bible God's people want to be like everybody else. We want to say the same kinds of things that everybody else say. We want to party just like, you know, y'all on social media, you know, we got some folk, check it out. Well, maybe not. Just stay on the Church of Christ page. You might not want to check some of these. But we've got folk, we party just like everybody else party. We say the same kinds of things that other people say. We want to be like everybody else. The question, do we choose God or do we choose man? The suggestion is that we choose God. We want to always be about the business of doing what God has asked us to do. Notice what God says to Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Let's drop down to verse number 7. Verse number 7. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee." Now, Samuel, let me tell you something. God says, listen, you just go ahead and listen to the people. What, God? In verse number 6, you would have seen that Samuel was very displeased. He was sore displeased. He was so unhappy that they came and told him. Now, the question is, what was he unhappy about? Was he unhappy about the fact that they told him that his kids were baby kids? Or was he unhappy because the folks said, make us a king? Or was he unhappy because of a combination of the two? Put it in the chat. You put it in the chat on Facebook or put it on YouTube chat. What do you think? Why was Samuel unhappy? Or was he unhappy because he felt rejected? You know, we got to make sure that we understand, all of us as human beings, we have egos. But listen, don't let our egos get in the problem. Don't let our egos be the problem. Well, they didn't say enough amens when I was preaching. Last week when Brother Gary was preaching, they amened all over the place. On Wednesday night, we have some great preachers, Brother Gary. We all had Brother Duro. Brother Duro did a wonderful job. Brother Murphy is a wonderful preacher. You'll get a chance to listen to him tonight. Let me just do a station identification. Time out. Station identification. Brother Dennis Murphy is scheduled to speak tonight. Okay. Now, this is one thing that I noticed. We have thousands of people that are attending our 9 a.m. worship. This is our station identification. We want the same thousands of people. Y'all come to our Sunday night service, 6 p.m. It's a devotion. Don't miss it. All right. Station identification over. Time back in. All right. So we've got wonderful, wonderful, great teachers and preachers, but the responsibility of all of our great preachers and teachers is to choose God and not man, and to direct people to God and not to man. They wanted to be like everybody else. And God says, Samuel, listen to them. Notice the latter part of verse number 7. Here's where it's crying time. For they have not rejected thee. Samuel, it's not about you. They have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. Oh, I tell you, I get emotional when I'm reading the Bible. I mean, it's not just dead words on a page. God said about his people, they don't want me. They want a man. And that's the question. Who do we choose, God or man? It's a reminder to every one of us. We are to choose God and not man. And that's what God said. Samuel, it's not about you. He judged Israel faithfully. He was the last faithful judge all of his life. And certainly he had an ego and he was feeling something. Have you ever got in your feelings? That's a modern Ebonics term, Brother Ray. You don't know about that. Ever been in your feelings? Sometimes we get in our feelings. And Lord, we have to remember, listen, it's not about us. I forgot. Stay in one place. It's not about us. Men and women, have their own processes that are going in their minds. And oftentimes, people make the wrong choices because they're not considering God. Let us not be those people that fail to consider God. Amen. Let's choose God and not man. That's my suggestion to you this morning. That's my recommendation. Let's choose God and not man. They have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me that I should not reign over them. I tell you, when we find men and women that will not follow God, then they hold up mankind. People want to tell you who their preacher is, or they want to tell you who the elders are. They want to tell you who the deacons are. They want to tell you all of that. But the question is, are we people who choose God rather than men? God told Samuel, you tell them. I want you to protest to them. I want you to tell them what's going to happen if they choose to have a king. And he tells them in verse number 9. Go down to verse number 9. The Bible says, now therefore hearken unto their voice. Howbeit yet protest solemnly to them. And show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. You show them. He says, listen, you go ahead and do what they say, but you tell them what that king is going to be like. You tell them what that king is going to do. You tell them that king is going to take your sons and he's going to put them as runners in front of his chariots. Here come the king. He's going to take those boys that are growing up in your household. He's going to put them in his army to go out and fight battles on his behalf. He's going to take your daughters and he's going to make them confectionaries. He's going to have them baking and cooking and taking care. He's going to take your property and he's going to give your property to his friends. He's going to practice nepotism in his household. And you tell them all of these things that they're going to do when you choose a king, when you choose a man, when you raise up men other than choosing God. Tell them what's going to happen. Somebody tells you all of that stuff, does it give us a chance to reconsider? Does it give us pause? But drop down to verse number 19. Drop down to verse number 19. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse number 19. What does your Bible say? See that word, nevertheless? They'd been warned. They'd been told what was going to happen. They hear all of this. And the Bible still says, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. Who did they choose? Did they choose God? I don't care what God says. I don't care about reading through no Bible. I don't care what the Bible, the word of God that says every word of God is pure, says. Give us a man. Give us a man to stand out in front of us. Give us a man that we can tell other people who our man is. Give us a man. They chose a man and not God. Brother, sister, can we learn from this? We got to make sure. We get too close sometimes to the men. We get too close sometimes to people, to men and women. We elevate and edify men and women rather than God. And we're wondering sometimes what happened to our blessings. We're afraid to stand up sometimes and say plainly what thus says the Lord. Stand with God. Let God be true. And every man a lie, in the body or out of the body, does not matter. Stand with the word of God. There's some good stuff in here. There's some good stuff in here. I got to move on. Let's go to John chapter 12. Let's get John chapter 12. And our reading actually comes from John chapter 12, starting at verse number 12. through 26. Wait a minute, let me make sure it's still in my Bible. Okay, it's still in there. In John chapter 12, in verse number 12, notice what the Bible says. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. John 12, verse number 12. All right, thank you. That should have been in the notes. So on the next day, here Jesus has gone up to the feast, and we saw him at the feast in Jerusalem. And when he went up, the Bible says on the next day, a whole bunch of people came to the feast. My job is to tell people that Jesus is coming. He's coming again, brother. Jesus is coming, sister. And since Jesus is coming, what kind of people do you think that we ought to be? Since Jesus is coming again, what do you think we ought to be doing? These people heard that Jesus was coming, and they knew that Jesus was going to be at that feast, and they came. Much people came. And we want to remind folks, Jesus is coming again, and he's going to judge this world in righteousness. And those who he finds doing his will receive the entrance into the glorified kingdom of God. We want to be ready, brother. I'll tell you something. You might not think it, but I mentioned this morning about all of y'all looking in the mirror before you came over here today, and those of you at home who looked in the mirror, you and I believe, brother, I looked in the mirror. I did. I washed my face. And I moved some stuff out. You glad I did? Is that what you said, bro? We'll talk after. I combed my hair. All right? I put on the good clothes. I got ready to come over here. And I prepared. Listen, what I'm saying is that when you're getting ready to go somewhere, what do? We got to get ready to go. So Jesus is coming, and we've got to get ready to go if we're going to be with Jesus. These folks, when they heard that Jesus was coming, they got ready. They went up to the feast. And it's going to be a hallelujah time when we get to meet with Jesus again. It's going to be a great celebration on that day that we get ready to see Jesus. Brother Ray, there's a song that says, there's a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. And you know that great day? It says in that same song, there's a sad day coming. Do you know that song? Don't let me break out in singing, brother. Hold him, Lord. Hold him. We want to thank the booth. For some reason, they didn't turn my mic on while Brother Ray was singing so I could help him with the singing. They made sure they turned it on after I got up to start speaking. But that great day that's coming and that sad day that's coming, it's the same day. It's a great day for those of us who are in Christ. And those who have prepared themselves to enter into the rejoicing of the Lord. But it is a sad and devastating day for those who have not been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ and those who do not live according to the word of God. There is a day of eternal separation into fiery hell that the worm dieth not, the fire is not. It's a place of eternal punishment. It's the same day. We need to get ready because Jesus is coming. Verse number 13, John 12 and verse number 13, the Bible says, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, crying, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna is like, bless us, let's do it. Do it now. Save us now. Now, it's an interesting thing that these people came to see Jesus, but they still had in mind that they wanted an earthly king to sit on the throne of David and rule over them. They still hadn't grasped that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It's men and women who have obeyed the doctrine that put them into the body of Christ and that live according to the word of God, that we might be saved in the end. Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Verse number 14. Now, folks, get mad. I read from the King James translation of the Bible, and I'm changing the words. I'm going to read the word, and if y'all are offended, don't listen right now, sticking fingers in your ears. No, you need to listen to the word of God. I'm going to read it. And Jesus, when he found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written. See, Jesus was not about pomp and circumstance. A man riding on a colt, a foal, a baby ass, a baby donkey. All right, brother. Brother corrected me. No, that's what the... But listen. That shows humility.
Amen.
It shows humbleness. It shows somebody that's not trying to impress folk riding in on his stallion. Six white horses and he riding in and go like, yeah, I'm the king. I'm the man. He's riding in, the Bible says, on a young ass sat thereon as it is written. The Bible had prophesied. Verse 15, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. In verse number 16, the Bible says his disciples didn't understand this. They didn't get it. Sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes folk don't get it when, again, low and humble is the way. We sometimes want to impress people with who we are and what we've got. And even in the church, we get into the point where this is doctor, PhD, this, that, and the other. Listen. Is that my brother? Is it my sister? What is the relationship in Christ? I'm not fighting against any of these things. Understand. But all I'm saying is, do we choose God or do we choose man? What are we impressed by? Are we impressed by God or are we impressed by man? Let's find the things of God. And here, these people understood. His disciples did not understand at the first. Did you get that? At first, they didn't get it. And brothers, listen. Sisters, maybe right now, at first, some of you didn't get it. What in the world is he ranting and raving about up there? But listen. You might not get it at the beginning. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. It's in the Bible. Wait a minute. Suggestion. Read it. You'll find it. All right. Read it. You'll find it. So they didn't start off understanding, but they grew to the point where they were able to understand. Notice. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written. Where was it? Where was it? Put it in the chat. Where was it? That things were what? These things were written. It's in the book. Read the book. You'll find it. It was written that they had done these things unto him. All right, brother. Ain't nothing on this, is it? Thank you. I was just checking if I need to be on the lookout. All right. So what we want to do is that if we don't get it at the first, is it okay if we get it at the last?
Yes.
Brother, listen. Sister, listen. We want to make sure that we get it at some point. I'm going to skip some of these verses here and let's go down to Matthew chapter 11. Can we get Matthew chapter 11? We'll skip all the way down to Matthew chapter 11. And let's get verse number 28. In Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. If we have time, I might go back and get some of those other scriptures, but we're going to skip down to Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. I'm going to recommend that we choose God.
Amen.
Rather than man. In all circumstances, listen, certainly we want to esteem brothers, we want to esteem sisters highly for their work's sake.
Yes.
But listen, what I'm trying to get us to understand is not about the man.
No.
It's not about the woman.
No.
It's about God.
Amen.
And my job, my responsibility is to point myself toward God and try to point as many people as we can. Let's point people toward God, because God is the one that will save us.
Amen.
And in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus had to tell the people, notice in verse number 28, he says, come unto me. How many? Come unto me. Listen. He didn't say come to the preacher. He didn't say come to the elders. He didn't say come to the deacons. He didn't say come to the Bible school teachers. He didn't say come to the church. Jesus says, come unto me. All of those things have places, and there's a role for all of them to play. But Jesus says, come unto me. Choose God, not man. Who? All ye that are heavy laden. Anybody got any troubles in this world?
Yes, sir.
Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Jesus wants us to know that I, get it? I is not the psychotherapist. It's not the marriage counselor. It's not the elders. It's not the preacher. It's not the deacons. Jesus says, I will give you rest. So we got to come to Jesus. Now notice, there's a cost to pay in this. There's a cost to pay to get the rest. Verse number 29 is right after verse number 28. And this is Jesus speaking, because I got the red letter edition, brother. I got to stop joking about stuff that's written, because sometimes folk take things very seriously. But yes, these are the words of Jesus. Look at verse number 29. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, this is something that is foreign to us in this day and age and in this country, because we do not farm with animals yoked together. But a yoke is an apparatus that goes around the neck of one animal that is now fastened to another animal. They are in a team. They are teamed together. So what do you think happens when one animal walks and they're yoked together? They got to walk together. They say, when one steps, the other one's got to step. When one moves, the other one's got to move. If one of them falls down, the other one's going to fall down. But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Jesus says, tie yourself to God. Tie ourselves to God and not man. Who do you choose? Who do we choose? Who are we going to be yoked with? Who are we going to be tied with? He says, choose God and not man. See, one brother called me and asked me, say, Brother Wilkerson, how come you got all these different scriptures and different sections going together? How do they connect together? I said, brother, listen, as you go through, you read, look and see if there is a connection. But yes, all of it is connected. All of the word of God is connected, because it's all the word of God. All right. So now he says, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of who?
Me.
Learn of me. Now, a lot of you have learned a lot of stuff about me when I've gotten up to preach, because you heard me say, you know where I'm from, you know what kind of area I grew up on, and some of y'all talk about me. Y'all know sometimes about things that I like and things that I don't like, and some of y'all don't like the stuff that I don't like, and therefore you don't like what I like, and you don't like me that much. You learned a whole lot about me. But listen, we preach God and not ourselves. The question is, are we learning about God? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus says, what's the next? I am. Jesus said, I ain't no big shot. I am meek and I'm lowly. Now, meek does not mean weak, y'all. Jesus, when the Father said, let it be, Jesus is the active force of creation that made it. All things were made for him and by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. You know what? Let me tell you something. It's in the Bible. Read it. You'll find it. It says, look, learn of me. That's what Jesus says. That's what God wants us to do, is to learn about his son. He says, and ye shall find, what you going to find? You shall find rest unto your souls. Man, you know what? I think I've got it now. I think I've got it. I think I'm going to have to follow God and not man. I'm going to have to jump again. Let me skip again. I'm going to jump all the way down to John chapter 12, and let's get verse number 26. John chapter 12 and verse number 26. The Bible says, if any man serve, I wish I had time to talk about that. If any man serve, this is talking about being a slave. If any man serve me, that's what Jesus says. Do we want to follow God or do we want to follow men? Jesus says, if any man serve me, let him follow who? Jesus said, if you're going to serve me, follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant. We've been studying the books of Peter in our Sunday morning adult class, and we've learned that word servant is slave. And you know, slaves don't do what slaves would just jump up and want to do. You know what a slave's responsibility is? To preach, brother. Do what the master says. That is what the slave's responsibility is. And Jesus says, if anyone will serve me, he says, there shall also my servant be wherever I am. You know where Jesus is? He's in the book. There where my servant is, Jesus says, my servant will be where. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Man, that was the last verse, but it's some good stuff. That was the last verse in our read in the New Testament part. But we're not going to have a chance. We're not going to go to Psalms. We're going to go ahead and wrap up right here. Because, look, I think that we've seen enough evidence. Who do you think we ought to choose? Put it in the chat. Who do you think we ought to choose? Who we choose? Are we going to choose God? Or are we going to choose man? Recommendation, choose God. For those of us who are members of the family of God, where is our dedication to? Is our dedication to man? Or is our dedication to God? For those of you who are visiting with us, we are so happy that you continue to visit with us. My recommendation, choose God and not man. If you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, this man Jesus that we're reading about is God manifest. Amen. God the Father said about him on more than one occasion, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Go read Matthew chapter 3. You're going to find it. Go read Matthew chapter 17. It's going to find it. It's in the book. It's in the book. Check it. It's there. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. All right, preacher. Listen to Jesus. So if you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, the question is to you, do you believe Jesus is God's son? If you believe that, then here's a simple thing in concept. Repent means to turn, but it means to turn from self, to turn from sin, and to turn to God. So that's making up my mind. I want to turn from self and sin and turn to God. That's what repentance is. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God before you're going to turn to him. Then simply confess before this audience, I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Give your body to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, and you know the angels will have their party in heaven. There'll be a celebration in heaven. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. That will put you in the body of Christ. As members of the family of God, we stumble, we fall, we make many mistakes, but we come back through confession, repentance, and prayer. If we can be of a service to you, please call the number that's on your screen. 713-672-2654. That's the church number. We will get to you. If you want to have a Bible study, if you want to join us in our 365-day journey through the Bible, we invite you. But certainly, we want to read and study. And our recommendation is choose God and not man. May God bless and keep you.